Last month, the city reached a $40 million settlement with five men wrongfully convicted in the rape of a jogger in Central Park in 1989. Mayor de Blasio spoke of a moral obligation to remedy the injustice. And there's no shortage of wrongs to make right. This year alone, 13 men and women in New York State have had their convictions overturned. So what kind of money can they expect in compensation? WNYC's Ilya Marath reports it's hard to predict because there is no formula.
So, you did jail time for a crime you didn't commit, and now you're free. Guess what? You'll probably spend the next several years trying to get compensation, just like Alan Newton.
I am a 53-year-old man who's been home 8 years after being exonerated.
Newton was convicted of rape and served 22 years. And since the day he was exonerated and walked out of prison in 2006, he hasn't collected a dime of compensation.
I'm kind of, you know, after 22 years and being disappointed so many times, I'm kind of not jaded, but I kind of understand how the courts work. And one thing I realized that you must have patience when you're dealing with them.
If you've had your conviction overturned in New York, you have two pathways to get some money: a civil rights suit in federal court or a state suit in the Court of Claims. Judges, juries, depositions, and procedural motions that can drag on for years. It's a lot like the adversarial system that sent an innocent man to prison in the first place. So let's look at option number one, a federal civil rights suit against the town or county where you were arrested. These are the cases that generate big money and newspaper headlines. Plaintiff's attorney Taylor Koss says that's because juries are emotional.
At the end of the rainbow, there's a jury, and it's a jury of your peers, and they are pissed off. They are angered by police behavior. They are angered by district attorney wrongful behavior, if you can establish it.
Alan Newton went to federal court and argued that New York City violated his rights by losing track of semen collected from the rape victim for over a decade. When it was finally found and tested, the DNA showed another man had committed the crime.
By them losing the DNA evidence, it took longer for me to be able to prove my innocence.
The jury heard Newton's story and awarded him $18 million, or about $1.5 million for every year he was waiting on the DNA test. No formula at all, just the jury's opinion of what Newton deserved. But Newton quickly learned how hard it is to win these cases. Before he could collect his check, a judge overturned the award. She said the state showed negligence by losing that DNA evidence, but there was no deliberate effort to harm Newton. And that's the standard. The case is now on appeal. But there is another way. This is option number two. It's a state law, a 1984 amendment to the Court of Claims Act. And crucially, it does not require a finding of misconduct on the part of the authorities. Again, attorney Taylor Koss.
Basically what that says is we acknowledge that people are wrongfully convicted. We also acknowledge that they are entitled to some amount of money per year of their suffering.
Many of these cases have been settled out of court, but every so often one goes to trial. Koss says the awards are usually much smaller because a judge is hearing the case.
You can't play to the emotions. This is a judge now, and they're going to use, you know, equations, factors, actuarial sciences, as opposed to, you know, heart.
These verdicts make fascinating reading. In considering compensation for a man named Victor Ortiz, a skeptical-sounding judge points out that Ortiz already had a record for sexual assault before he was wrongfully convicted for rape. The judge gives Ortiz $55,000 for each year served. Meanwhile, another, more sympathetic exoneree gets almost 10 times as much per year. Amin Baba Ali was jailed on false charges of abusing his daughter. His life completely fell apart. He lost his job and all contact with his little girl, even after his name was cleared. The judge writes, "The court is asked to include in its damages award the value of what is really an incalculable loss." And then the judge gives a surprisingly exact number, $2,093,420. Ron Kuby is a civil rights lawyer.
In this country, we approach compensating the wrongfully convicted the same way we approach compensating everyone who has suffered some sort of catastrophic or even not so catastrophic injury with money.
But a wrongful conviction, Kuby argues, is a special kind of injury. It's much harder to put a price on lost time than on bodily harm. For example,
most jurors will say, you know, $50,000, I'll take a punch in the nose. Yeah. I don't think I'd take it for 10, but yeah, 50,000, I'd take it punch in the nose.
That kind of thinking just doesn't compute when the wrong man goes to prison.
Because nobody is going to say, oh, in exchange for $100,000 a year or $1 million a year, I will go into a maximum security prison for the rest of my life, never knowing when I'll get out. So they become very, very difficult cases to attach numbers to.
Many cases never get that far. Of the 8 full exonerations he's won, Kuby says only 3 have obtained compensation. To even be considered for a payout, you have to be able to prove your innocence by clear and convincing evidence.
It's not impossible, because sometimes you can find out the person who really did do it. But it's a very difficult thing to do. That's one hurdle.
And if you can prove your innocence, you still may be disqualified from suing in state court if you contributed to your own conviction, for example, by making a false confession. Even with this high bar, wrongful conviction suits keep cropping up. Taylor Koss, the attorney we met earlier, is now representing Jonathan Fleming in 2 lawsuits. Fleming did almost 25 years behind bars for a murder he didn't commit. Koss says the city's $1 million a year settlement with the men known as the Central Park Five should move the standard for settlements higher.
It would appear that the bar has now been raised. And going into any negotiation, I'm going to have to be convinced why my client, Jonathan Fleming's life, is not worth as much as those young men were.
Koss, who's a former prosecutor, is actually demanding much more money for his client, $162 million, or $6.5 million for every year Jonathan Fleming was in prison.
So how do you figure that?
You know, I don't know. I'm being honest with you. How do you figure out the minutia of it? You know, look, we sat down, myself and my co-counsel, Anthony Mayall, and we came up with a number using formulas, using past success, using some actuarial sciences in terms of a lost wages element.
This is Koss's job, of course, but he says it would be better for his client and for exonerated people in general if they had less need of lawyers like him.
There should be concrete standards on the state side for exactly how to value these claims. And quite frankly, it shouldn't be an adversarial process. It should be filling out an application. And I was in for this amount of time. I suffered this injuries. Here's the deterioration in my health. Boom, 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 boom. Per my calculations, you owe me $8 million. Thank you. I'll see you in 60 days.
When they are released from prison, many exonerees have little or no money to rebuild their lives. And for those who eventually make a successful claim for compensation, it usually takes years, not months, to get it. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meretz.